We need women from all backgrounds, all sectors, all experiences, and that when we gather all that, that we actually become pertinent, and we're always more intelligent when we talk together.
This is Female Business Angel Podcast,
your go-to destination if you're a business angel or would like to get into angel investing and don't know where to start.
Or if you just want to find out how we tick. We're Tina and Katja, both business angels from Berlin. Well, I'm a VC now. We will interview established female business angels about how they got started and how it is going, including all the best tips and tricks.
So get ready for some insider stories and personal empowering moments and revelations with these incredible women.
Welcome to this journey with us.
Hello.
Hello, Florence. So we are at Station F in Paris, attending Women in VC Europe, European Summit. It's the very first edition of this wonderful event to have female VCs, aspiring investors, female founders, and ladies from the ecosystem all together sharing knowledge, network, and having fun. So, yeah, it's an honor to be recording our episode with you, with the French business angel. And I think you have an amazing background. So please introduce yourself and we dive into the discussion around business angeling.
Thank you very much, Katja. Hi, everyone. I'm very happy to be here. Thank you for inviting me. And I'm very happy to be able to talk about that thrilling activity of business angel. So I'm Florence Richardson, and I've been a business angel for quite a few years, 12, 13, 15, I'm not sure. And most of my investment have gone through a great network, which is Femme Business Angel, which I joined a few years ago. So I'll be very happy to talk about it.
Yeah, I think it's, tell us more about your journey. So I think it's absolutely fascinating. You started engineering, you had an MBA in management and in business. You co-founded a company yourself. And then, so you joined Femme Business Angels in 2009, but the organization exists for 20 years, mm-hmm. for more than 20 years, which I think is fascinating. So myself, I just got into business angeling less than 4 years ago. I've been aware of it like for maybe, I don't know, 7 years. And we started this podcast because we could not find resources on it. And we just didn't know like what to read, what to listen to, especially if you want to become female business angel in Europe and just how to get involved. And you've been in this for 14 years.
Yeah, 14 years doesn't make me younger.
Yeah, I think it's incredible. How did it start?
So maybe just a little word on my background. I have an engineering background as well as business. And I started a very common path. I went to work for a big bank where I stayed 14 years, mostly in the operation, commercial operations. And I ended my career at the bank in the strategy division of the bank. It was early 2000 years, and I was looking at what the impact of internet and e-business had on our business model in the bank. And so this opened my mind to new business models and new technologies, and I decided I wanted to look for something else and do something else. So I left the bank and I co-founded my own company in commercial outsourcing and Salesforce outsourcing and consulting. I developed it for quite a few years, a bit less than 10 years. And after these 10 years, I sold my shares. I got out of my business. At that time, we didn't talk about startups and female entrepreneurs and
just
things like
business.
That. It was just business. Just started a company. So I got out and I I had a little bit of money. I had time at that stage. I didn't really want to go back to regular work, as I called it, or started something else.
Back to the bank.
Back to the bank, or start another company. I was 45. I had raised three kids, worked a lot, and I felt like I needed a little bit of time. And with that time and that money I had, I felt like I didn't want to invest my money just, in a regular fund or in a bank. And I thought, what can I do to actually use this money I have, but also that this money will be useful? And that's where I started to think about investing in companies, in companies. And it was also a way for me to keep on doing what I had been doing for 10 years, which was being an entrepreneur. So I started to look. I actually did my first angel investing without knowing it was an angel investing a few years ago, before that. And I had invested in one of my friend's company. Well, needless to say, it wasn't a great success because I just put some money in his company without really looking at the business or anything. So when I decided to do that looking more deeply into it, I wanted a more structured approach. And so I looked into, and that was in 2009, I think, into what I could do and how I could do it. And I discovered the world and the world business angels, which I didn't know before. And then I discovered the business angel networks. I kind of did my research. I visited a few business angel networks. To be honest, in 2008 or 2009, I was not very impressed by the networks. They were very retired male-oriented networks, and I just didn't feel very good about it. And then I discovered that business angel network called Femme Business Angel, just women. And I wasn't at all used at being just with women. I had been more in a male environment. But there was a very different approach. I liked it, and I joined the network, and I've been there since then. So I really enjoyed it.
And Megan, taking a step back, how was it for you as an entrepreneur? Were you in touch with business angels or individual private investors? Did you raise money at all? Or when you started your company, did you just bootstrap it? So it sounds like you... Because many founders, they discover business angels on the founding journey and then they become business angels themselves. So how was it back in the days?
It's true, but that's not what I did. We did bootstrap and our business model didn't really need to raise money. Or at that time, I don't think it was so common and, we were not talking about it that much. So no, I didn't raise money. It was my money and my co-founder money. And we actually... were profitable very soon, and we developed the company on our own funds. So I didn't have this experience of being an investor, of having investors in my own company. So when I became a business angel, it was not something I had seen from the other side. So I really decided to invest to have this more structured approach. And this is what I found at Femme Business Angel. Maybe a few words on the network. Yes. So this is a network which was created in 2003, so quite a long time ago. One of the first ones in France, starting from the fact that there was very few women business angels in our ecosystem by then. Which is still the case. So just to give you some figures, today we have 10 to 12% of women within the business angel ecosystem, which is a real problem. So this network was founded then, developed quite a lot. Right now we are 170 active investors, female active investors. We do invest in all kinds of sectors. We are agnostics in terms of sectors, pre-seed and seed investment, and what's really interesting is that our 170 members, they're all professionals, or most of them are professionals, or have been professionals, and or in between professions, but they come from all sectors. They are not people working in finance or in investment. And that's what's really interesting, is to have all these kinds of backgrounds, because that's what we need. We need women from all backgrounds, all sectors, all experiences. And that's when we gather all that, that we actually become pertinent, and we're always more intelligent when we're together than just being alone.
We have to crowdsource the wisdom and network and due diligence.
Exactly. So this is the network. And one key point is that we do invest in companies that are either led by men or mixed or female entrepreneurs. So we are female, but we invest in all kinds of, all sorts of companies. So this is this network. And the reason I joined it, or what I found there, is as a business angel, or as a business angel to be, I didn't really know how it worked. I hired the other side as an entrepreneur, but not working with investors. I worked in a different environment before, so I had no idea what I was getting into. And that was very useful to actually have some education, seminars to how do you become and what do you expect when you are a business angel. So that's what we do at Femme Business Angel. And I think it's very interesting to actually have people on board.
Give them some training.
And give them some training, exactly.
Steps to follow.
Because that's one of the key issues with women, is sometimes we are very reluctant to start something where we don't know exactly everything about it. So we try to give some pretty full training on all aspects of what it means to be a business angel. How do you do a due diligence? How do you look at a project? What's the IP, important stuff? What's the shareholders agreement? How do you manage the governance of a startup? What are the key points when you talk about valuation? All these items, we actually overview them, and that's very important actually to onboard our business engine, and that helped me a lot.
I think, it can be scary, especially like legal documents and all the jargon flying around.
That can be very frightening to start with, but it actually, when you go into it, it's okay. And what's important is that we do have a community of experienced business angels, like me, but a lot of them, and we work together. And, you know, when you start and you don't know, well, then we do teams where we actually help the new business angel, and it works well.
The requirement to join the organization?
I think it's very important when we have investors in front of entrepreneurs that they feel like they have real investors in front of them. We don't want anybody to lose time, to waste time. We know that the time of an entrepreneur is very important. So the requirement is that when you join the network, you will invest at least 20,000K for the next 2 or 3 years, and then keep investing some money.
Okay, and that you bring some expertise also to the
exactly,
table.
That you bring some time and expertise.
You mentioned statistics. So between 10 and 12% of active business angels in France are female. So mm-hmm. We learned today that in the UK it's 14. So we're a sifted panel. So while UK is a bit more like ahead. In Germany it's 11, very sad. So how did this statistic changed over the years? So you've been angel investing for almost 14 years. How was it? Was it like one digit point when you started? And so is it an upward trend?
Unfortunately, we are still far from where we want to be. And statistics are still not very good for our global ecosystem in terms of mixity. Maybe I want to come back to my own experience. I joined Femme Business Angel because I wanted to invest and I wanted some help and some support and some deal flow, which is what you find very important, deal flow. We get more than 1,000 projects every year in our network. That's what I wanted to find. And I found it, and I did quite a few investments. I did more than 30 investments over the 10 years period. I invested about 2 to 3 I do 2 to 3 investments every year. And I've been doing that. And I've been doing that for the last 10 years. So that was my major goal. But my second goal, and that's where I shifted from being a business angel, member of a Femme Business Angel, to being a very active member of Femme Business Angel, and I am the president of the network. I've been the president for quite a few years. Is that I realized that we do need more women. I mean, we do need more women in that very still male ecosystem, and for many reasons, we do need more women because it's absolutely a thrilling activity. And it's a shame that there's no more women, there's not more women in that activity. We do need more women because we need their expertise, and startups need their expertise. We've got more and more startups coming to see us because even when they are a very male team, they want to diversify their cap table and their governance, and they come to us and they say, okay, we don't have a mixed team, but we would love to have you on board with us because we need, the diversity with our startup. So we need more women, and we've conducted studies to understand why it's only 10%. Or 12, or whatever, you know, wherever, whichever country you're.
Less than 15.
Then 15%. And it doesn't evolve that much. I mean, maybe with a few percent less in 20 years ago. But I can't say there's a huge difference between 20 years ago and now. But there's one difference that I can really mention, is that in our network, we have always been younger in that general networks, business angel networks. And that's becoming truer and truer. We've got quite a few new members who joined the network over the last 2 to 5 years. And what I really love to see is that they're young. And when I mean they're young, we've got members that are less than 30 years old or 35 or 40. And that we didn't have that before. So that's a real big difference between what we had before and what we have today, which makes us a pretty young network in terms of Business Angel, but which also gives us the opportunity to have experience from women that are more hands-on in the digital world or things that maybe we are not as much when we are 50 or 55. So that's a major difference. So the number of business angel evolved a bit, but not that much. But the characteristic, the profile did evolve, and that's a good sign.
Yeah, so the younger generations are coming in, and then so, but that's good. They have tech know-how maybe, but at the end of the day, you build businesses with people. So if you are more experienced business angel, you have life wisdom on how to make teams work together and how to solve certain conflicts and issues. So I guess that's a good win-win. And you've also co-founded a VC company called Win Equity one year ago. Tell us more about that.
So my first motivation is to invest. My second motivation as a president of Femme Business Angel is to draw and to attract more women to be business angel, because I think it's really important. And my third motivation is actually to finance more women entrepreneurs. And we have really realized that we have a problem of funding female entrepreneurs, because not only we don't have enough female entrepreneurs, because the environment, especially in the tech sector, that's changing, but that's still way too low in terms of number of female entrepreneurs. But not only we don't have enough, we have female entrepreneurs who have actually more difficulties to raise funds than anybody else. I'm sure you've heard that these different figures today during the event. But if I look at the figures in France, about 11% of the funds are going to mixed teams or female team, only 1% to female-only founders. So really, it's just outraging to see these numbers. And what I've realized over the past few years is when you put women entrepreneurs in front of women investors, it changes the dimension. For example, as I said, in Femme Business Angel, we do invest in all kinds of companies, whether, and it's not a criteria. But we have right now in 2021 and in 2022, we have a ratio of 50% of our investment directed to female entrepreneurs. So of course we do.
It happens organically.
Of course we do attract more female entrepreneurs because they think that they will maybe have a better ear to their project, or they have projects that talk to women more than they would talk to men. But having that, having put some investors, female investors in front of female entrepreneurs, really helps to actually fund their companies.
Yeah.
So my third motivation was female entrepreneur and how to finance more female entrepreneurs. But beyond that, there's a key issue. Mixity is just a driver of performance, for performance. There are very serious studies actually show that, and that's a very good point because we need some figures and tangibility to show that. But because mixity is a driver of performance, why not invest in mixed teams? So that's our thesis in with Win Equity, and we decided last year to fund that, to create this fund. Whose thesis is to invest in companies with at least one female founder. And we launched that last year. We have about 100 LPs or shareholders that actually believe in, you know, our thesis. And we are very happy to invest in startup companies, seed or pre-seed, with a capacity to follow up for the next series. And we've done three investments up to now over the first 6 months of the year. And it shows that we've got the deal flow.
I was going to ask, was it difficult to source the deals?
No, it wasn't. Not at all. Okay. It wasn't. Actually, we've got a great deal flow. So, you know, when you want to look, you've got the deal flow, and we've got three great investments. I can talk about it. The first one is in a prop tech, so in very different fields. So the first one is in a prop tech. It's called a company called Citowi. And it actually helps the managers of the properties to develop their budget and anticipate the way the properties will evolve in the time. So it's really oriented with the impact of having a better management of the properties and environmental issues of the properties. So that was our first investment. That was very good. The second investment is MedTech. It's called IllShape, and they do bioprosthesis to replace for women that have been that had a mastectomy, but it's totally a very new process, and it's an amazing team as well, and it's led by a woman. And last but not least is Outmind, and it's also a mixed team, but a great founder, a women founder, and they do an internal search system. So very different kind of projects,
yeah,
very thrilling teams, and we're really, really happy to actually invest in these teams. And
No, that's great. Mm-hmm. I think maybe I would love to, like, since we have like 8 minutes left, since we have an audience here, I would love to make this a bit more interactive. So I will ask like two more questions. One, which is a typical deep question we always ask in this podcast, but maybe if you ladies want to ask Florence something and then to be on the podcast recorded, we will put this episode up on Spotify a couple of weeks later. That's your chance. Think about the question. Come closer, and you'll have to speak into my mic because it's been recorded. So, yeah, think about it and just approach us. Would be cool.
Maybe what, before there are some questions, maybe some you know, ideas about what I've learned as a business angel over the last 14 years. First of all, I think it's really important to have a kind of a portfolio, to build a portfolio. As I said, I invested in 30 companies, and it's over the years, so it's not just in one year. And it's risky. I mean, you have to be honest. It's not easy to start up and to develop a company.
It's not always the best asset class. A bit of luck is involved there.
There's a bit of luck, but you know, with experience, I think you put luck aside and you actually get a little bit more focused on what is important. So it's very risky. It's very rewarding. At the same time, it's rewarding in terms of intellectually, because it's eye-opening on new technologies, on the future, on what our world will be together. It's very energetic. You've got people from everywhere, and you know, women, young men, older women, older men, and that's great. And so I found it that it was really thrilling to be in that environment, and at the same time risky. So this is why I think building a portfolio is really important. The second thing is, I think it's very important, and we always say team is number one key. That's what people say, but that's what you have to look at. It's true. The team is really the key issue of when you bet on a startup. You have to believe that there is a potential market. You have to believe that the product or the offer makes sense. You have to understand what you're doing. You don't have to understand the technology, but you have to understand what the project is about. Yeah. You know, I'm very agnostic of everything. I'm a former banker, and then I was doing, and I was more in the commercial sales. So I don't have any sector of activities that I know very well, but I'm interested by all sectors, and it really is eye-opening, and it's very interesting. So it is interesting, but it is risky, and the team is not the number one key. And when it works because the team is great. And when it doesn't work, it usually works because there's a problem with the team or one member of the team. And that's difficult to decipher that. It's very difficult. It's a great human experience to be a business angel. But it's also difficult. Sometimes you've got weak signals and you've got to look at them, because it's not just the investment and putting the money. It's also being there afterwards. And it's actually the most interesting part. It's being there with the founders, being on the board, and you've got to be there for them. You've got to support them. You've got to challenge them. You never decide, but you have the challenging and the support part. But at the same time, you have to look at the weak signals, and you have to be quick, because when it doesn't work or something's wrong, if you don't help changing it sooner rather than later, the life cycle of a startup is very quick, and it can go bad really quickly, or it can go well very quickly. So that's a very important position to have as well as a business angel when you're on the board.
Yeah, I think it's a tricky one, because some business angels, they are there if the founder needs them, because they don't want to annoy and to, you know, to be like too present. So I think it's a tricky balance to know, okay, when to like intervene and act, and when just to, you know,
It's true. It's a position to find, and that's important as well. And that the keys of governance are important, and the positioning of the business angel is very important. There are some good business angels. There are some less good business angels, and it's important that for an entrepreneur to feel that the relationship will be because, and that's one of the questions as well. We have to ask ourselves before we invest is, will we be able to actually get along well with do we trust the team, and how will the relationship be? And, you know, it goes both ways.
Yeah, like, are we on the same frequency?
Yeah,
Can we work together? So any questions? Yes. Let's head over to the audience. You have to come here. Go ahead.
I'm Andrea from Women Invest in Tech Angels Club. So we made like fund business angels, but for Romanian women. And we are at the very beginning. So what would be some pieces of advice you would be able to share with us? Since our community of fund business angels is very recent compared to the one you have, you manage.
Okay, so you're starting
a
community.
We have already started, yes.
Yeah, okay. Well, I think it's it's very important to onboard your community by what we say, you know, the training, and so people can actually feel comfortable with the idea of investing. So the training is important, and then it's important as well to have more experienced business angel working with less experienced business angel if you have some experienced business angel to make them, you know, look into the project together. Another thing is, I think it's important not to rush. It's important to see project, to study project, and to feel that you don't rush into the project immediately. You have to be, you know, you have to look at different projects and feel good about it. But, you know, it's a community. Trust between the members is very important. It's like when one or two or three investors are actually convinced with a project, then you embark the other ones. And it's important to have that kind of trust between them, so that if you feel that two experienced business angels look at a project, deep into a project, go deep into a project, and they're convinced, then they'll embark the rest of the community.
The density of network, maybe, as well, no?
Network is very important.
Okay, let's go ahead with the second question.
Hi, my name is Sarah. I'm from Companist, and we have already an existing business angel club, but for sure with a lot of men. And now we would really love to have more women there. So how can we get more diverse? What should we do? What are the steps?
That's a good question. I think a lot of business angel clubs in France are asking the same question, because they don't have any women. They're all with our network. So I think for men, for network, they need to be onboarding women as well. Sometimes it can be quite intimidating to be just a few women within a large number of men. So I think it's probably for the men to be there and to actually feel like they want to attract more women, because they think that mixity is a good idea and is really something that will help and will give value to everybody, the entrepreneur, but also the whole club. But I don't have the magic recipe for that.
Yeah, maybe start with the diversity of the founding team. Well, tonight there will be closing drinks for this event, and I heard that male allies are invited. So let's see if it's 50-50 or if they are in the minority, if they feel intimidated with us or not, like with all this like female gathering here, but in a good sense, of course. Yeah, and last question, Daria from the Venturing Women podcast.
Hi, yes, I am a fellow podcaster, and on my podcast is for female founders or aspiring female founders, hence this question, Florence. What did you learn from founders that allowed you to become a better business angel? And I'm not talking necessarily about the industry insights that you collect, I'm talking more about soft skills.
I don't know whether we're better business angel or you know, I think a good business angel is a business angel who listens, challenges, doesn't think he knows everything. On the contrary, I don't know. I'm very considerate of the entrepreneur I work with. I want some trust between them and me, and that's the key issue to do at first. Because what happens is, before you invest, you're in a kind of a seduction from the entrepreneur towards the investors. But once you've invested, he put that aside, and you're in a joint relationship.
The romance
is not over, but at least you are partners. You are partners, and you know that the road is going to be hilly. So you need trust. So what's important is to make sure that the entrepreneur understands really quickly that as soon as the trust and the openship he has with his investors is important, because you want to be able to react, to challenge him with the right data. If you don't have the data, if you don't know what's going on, you can't be efficient. So it's really a question of transparency and a question of respect between the two. That's very important. And once you have that, well, then, you know, you've got the keys to actually try to make things change, move on and try to be efficient. So trust and transparency, I think, is very, very important.
Human factors again.
Yeah.
And maybe thank you so much for the questions and for the participations. And maybe like to close this up, the last question we always ask our guests, and that's a deep one. If you could change just one thing in our world, what would it be? If you have like a magic stick.
That's a very tricky question, because today there's so many things I would like to change in that world. That's a difficult question to answer. I think for me, I guess because I've got an engineering background and I did an engineering school so many years ago, and we were 10% of women in that engineering school, it's like in the investment community, there's not enough women in science, not
10% is like following you.
And that if I could change something, I would love that there would be more women in tech, in science, in engineering school, because the world today is based on AI, is based on data, is based on, you know, science, and we need to be there. I mean, we need to be there in investment, we need to be there in supporting entrepreneurs, but we also need to be there in science, and I would love to see more women interested in going into scientific studies. But to finish on a very optimistic or more optimistic point of view, I think we actually, women, have a head start now, because what I've seen over the last few years, and that's a key point as well, is that we actually finance a lot of projects with impact, and investors, women investors, are very interested by impact investing and by the meaning of their investment. Women are more entrepreneurs are more into companies that have meaning and that have impact, and so that's where we actually can, you know, be there and invest in great companies, which will change the world of tomorrow.
Yeah, that's great closing. Thank you so much. Applause to Florence.
Thank you.
Merci beaucoup.
Merci.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
My business used to be weighed down by the complexities of in-person payments. Then, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe came along and changed everything. With Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe, I streamlined my payment process effortlessly. Now I can accept in-person, contactless payments right from my iPhone. No extra hardware required. What's truly remarkable is how I can cater to all of my customers' payment preferences, whether they're using cards, Apple Pay, or other digital wallets. Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe ensure a smooth checkout experience every time. And it's not just me. Stripe helps businesses of all sizes, from local markets to global retailers, scale quickly and stay agile. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone.